Heavenly Father, thank you for this broadcast. So we want to welcome each and every one of you to Wednesday Night Bible Study. Today is May 25th, 2022, and I am Miss Inez, CEO and fashion designer of Anai Falco Designs, broadcasting to you worldwide. Every other Wednesday evening, Reverends Carolyn and Rodney McCullough of Spread the Word Ministries out of Arlington, Texas, brings Bible study. And this evening, they are going to be bringing to us Too Jacked Up to Judge. I love it. Taken from Matthew 7, 1 through 5. So we want you to open up your Bibles and get ready because we usually do a review. So start at Matthew, the 6th chapter, and we will be going through. So we want you to be ready for when our Reverend Carolyn and Reverend Rodney get on the line and they do a prayer. And then we just want to jump into this because Too Jacked Up to Judge. Can you imagine? Too Jacked Up to Judge. I can't wait to hear what's going on. So first we'll have a prayer and then we will dive into our Bible study lesson. So please turn your Bibles to Matthew 6, 1. And that's where we'll be starting. And then we will go from there. It's in your hands, Reverend McCullough.
All right. Well, let us pray again. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for allowing us to be here and to be able to study your word. Oh, we call on you in a magnificent and a powerful way, oh God. We need you to lead, God, and direct us, oh God, into all truth. We don't have a word of our own. It's your word, oh God.
No.
We don't have a word of our own, but it's your word. So I pray as you lend word to us tonight to study, oh God, we'll be so careful, so careful to handle your word carefully, oh God. But we need you, oh God. We need you to open us up
Lord.
And pour into us your word, to give us your discernment, to give us your understanding, oh God, because we won't be able to
thank
do it
you.
On our own strength. So we thank you in advance for how you will open your word up to us tonight, oh God. We thank you in advance for how you will bless us like we have never been blessed before, oh God. Lord, we thank you in advance, oh God, for how you will use
blessings
all of us to learn even more on tonight, oh God. So we look with anticipation with what you are going to do.
Yeah.
Again, we thank you, we love you, we bless your holy name, oh God. But we certainly pray for those who are grieving, oh God. Even as Inez is grieving, oh God, we lift her up to you in her loss, oh God. We pray for those families, oh God, in Texas, oh God. We pray for those families who are grieving, even right now. We pray for those families in Buffalo, New York, who are grieving right now,
oh God.
California, all over the United States and all over the world, oh God. Folk are grieving the loss of loved ones. A death is a death, but certain death, this stroke should go away, oh God. When babies and children, oh God, are killed seemingly senselessly to us, oh God, I just believe it has to rub everybody the wrong way. But one thing I know for sure is that you still God and you still in control.
Yeah.
You sit high and you look low. And one day it's going to be a reckoning. And you're going to even the score. You're going to make everything. You're going to level the playing field, oh God. And whatever wrong has been done, you are going to hold folk accountable, oh God. So we just pray that
you
would allow our hearts to be somewhat less heavy by your presence and by your peace and by your power.
Yeah.
God, I even lift up the family of the young man who is deceased who did the shooting, oh God. I pray for his grandmother and I ask God that you would heal her. I think she is in a survival mode, but I pray, God, that you continue to bring her through. Then I pray for that entire family because they're grieving too. They are grieving too. So I lift them up to you as well. Again, we love you and we thank you, oh God. Bless this podcast, this internet video. Bless it, oh God, to increase in every way you see fit. Allow people to join in. Allow funds to be provided. I just pray, God, that you would bless it as only you can and as you see fit.
As it
continues to try to reach folks all across the world. Again, we thank you and we love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
And amen again. All right, well, as we usually do, our review is done through the reading of that which we've already been, you know, we've done seven lessons. We've done different faces of a blessing, the Christian purpose, when helping hurts, prayers that pleases God, fighting with the fast.
Yeah.
What is my treasure? And first things first. So we've done seven lessons from the Sermon on the Mount, and tonight we will begin our eighth lesson. So let's review as we always do. Sadez, if you will read chapter 5, verses 1 through 12, and when we read and discussed that, we talked about the different faces of a blessing. Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 through 12, if you will read that for our review.
I sure will. And I had people going to the sixth chapter. Matthew 5, 1 through 12. And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain. And when he was set, his disciples came to him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. 10. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. 11. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. And 12, rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Amen. And we do have some other callers as well. Yes, we do. We do have a few other callers. So.
Great. So Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. Verses 13 through 16. Let's see. Can we get a reader for those three verses?
We have Reverend Will. We have Reverend Carolyn.
Praise the Lord.
Sister. Amen.
Matthew 5, 13 through 16. Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall it be? It is this forth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that sitteth on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven.
Amen. And we talked about the Christian purpose when we looked at those verses, the Christian purpose. And then we looked at Matthew chapter 6, verses 1 through 4, when helping hurts. If someone will read those verses, chapter 6, verses 1 through 4, when helping hurts.
We have Reverend Lil. We have
Take
Reverend
heed.
Carolyn. Go ahead.
Take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise, you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when you do your alms, do not sound a trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogue and in the street, that they may have glory of me. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when you do an alms, let not your left hand know what your right hand does, that your alms may be in secret, and your Father which sees in secret Himself shall reward you openly.
Amen. Amen. And verse, I'll go back because we did anger, we did lust, we did divorce, we did retaliation, and we did oath. So I'll go back and begin reading at verse 21. You have heard? I went back to chapter chapter 5, verse number 21. You have heard that it is said to those of old, you shall not murder. And whoever murders will be liable to judgment. But I say to you that anyone who is angry with his brother will be liable of judgment. Whoever insults his brother will be liable to the council. And whoever says you fool will be liable to the hell of fire. Verse number 23. So if you offer your gift at the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First, be reconciled to your brother and then come and offer your gift. Verse number 25. Come to terms quickly with the accuser while you are going with him to court, lest your accuser hand you over to the judge and the judge to the guard, and you will be put in prison. Truly I say to you, you will never get out until you have paid the last penny. And then we talked about lust, beginning at verse number 27. You have heard that it is said, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lustful intent has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. For it is better for you to lose one of your members than that your whole body be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away.
Uh-huh.
It is better that you lose one of your members than your whole body go into hell. Then we looked at the few verses that spoke about divorce. It was also said, whoever divorced his wife, let him give her a certificate of divorce. But I say to you that anyone who divorces his wife except on the grounds of sexual immorality makes her commit adultery, and whoever marries a divorced woman commits adultery as well. Then we looked at oaths. Verse number 33 in chapter 5. Again, you have heard it said that if you say, again, you have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not swear, but shall perform to the Lord what you have swore. Verse number 34, but I say to you, do not take an oath at all, either by heaven, for it is the throne of God, or by earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Verse 36, and do not take an oath by your head, for you cannot make one hair white or black. Let what you say be simply yes or no. Anything more than that comes from the evil one. And I don't know if you're in a position to read, Reverend Carol. If you are, you can read verses 38 through verse 48 in chapter 5. If not, you'll get another read.
Oh, you're talking about your wife. I'm sorry. Go ahead on. Probably both Carolyn.
We got two Carolyn. Oh, my fault. My bad.
But I say to you, do not resist the one who is evil. Anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. If anyone would sue you and take your tunic, let him have your cloak as well. And if anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him 2 miles. Give to the one who begs from you, and do not refuse the one who would borrow from you.
And continue down through 48.
You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet only your brothers, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? You therefore must be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen. Reverend Carolyn, what's your last name again? Reverend
Williamson.
Williamson. Reverend Williamson. Reverend Steve Williamson, if you will read for us the part that we talked about, fighting with the fast, Matthew 6, 16 through 18, and I read all the way down through 21, because that section covers fighting with the fast.
16 to 18, then down to 21, 24.
We haven't done prayers that please God yet, right?
Mm-hmm.
No.
Is he?
I need you to read. No. I need you to read chapter. I need you to read Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 through 13. That'll be prayers that pleases God. Well, we're already down to 14. 5 through 14.
Okay.
You get through this, y'all. Yeah.
Okay.
Praise the
Lord.
Chapter 6.
Chapter 6, 5
Amen.
Through 14. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the street, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut the door, pray to the Father which is in secret. And thy Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions, as the heathens do. For they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of, before you ask him. After this manner, therefore pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. That's to 14.
Can we go 15 as well?
But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Amen.
Thank you. Thank you. Verse number 16, and we talked about fighting with the fast. And when you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces that their fasting may be seen by others. Truly, I say to you, you have received your reward. Verse number 17 says, but when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, that your fasting may not be seen by others, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. Then the next section was, what is my treasure? What is my treasure?
And I'll read that again.
Okay, what is my treasure?
Do not lay up for yourself treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money.
Amen.
And finally, you went down to 24? 25,
yeah. We need to 25. Start at
25. And finally, we did fighting. Well, we did first thing first. First thing first, Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 through 34. That'll bring us up to where we are tonight. Matthew 6:25-34. Those things
about anything, huh?
Oh, go ahead.
Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all things, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble.
Amen. Thanks so much for your participation. That brings us up to chapter 7, and we're going to look at the first 5 verses during our study, that the time that we will share together. So we've been reading chapters 5, 6, and now 7 for the most part. It's titled for many Sermon on the Mount. A lot of Jesus' teaching came from these 3 chapters. Chapter 7, verse number 1, judge not. Chapter 7, verse number 1, judge not, that you be not judged. For with the judgment you pronounce, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Verse number 3, why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye, but you do not notice the log or plank that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me remove the speck out of your eye, when there is a log or plank in your own eye? Verse number 5. You hypocrite. You hypocrite. First take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. So tonight, we tag this two jacked up to judge. Lord, may the words of our mouths and the meditation of our hearts may be acceptable in your sight. For, oh, you are our strength, and you are our Redeemer. In Jesus Christ's name, we ask it all. Amen. Amen. Two jacked up to judge. Listen to these scenarios. Listen, look at them. And these are just, and think as I'm reading these and saying, think if you ever heard anybody say something similar. Maybe you said something similar yourself. Look at them. Why did they buy that huge house? And they know they can't afford to pay for it. They won't be over here long. Look at them. Why did they buy that new car? As hard as times are, we're in the middle of an inflation. They should have repaired their old car. Listen again. Look at him. He's always on time. I have to get the kids dressed and drop them off at school, and I bet he just gets up and comes to work. Look at her. She always has something to say. Always on the app. And these are at church. Look at her. She really thinks she looks good. Look at him. looking like a cat daddy. And then the thing, now Jesus teaches against judging others. Do not judge, or you too will be judged. God has a reason for everything God does, y'all. God has a reason for everything God does. And before I move on, some of those were comical. But those are judging people. Look at
right.
them. Why did they buy that big house? And they know they can't afford to pay for it. That's judging. Look at them.
Mm-hmm.
Why did they buy that car? As hard as times are, they should have just fixed their old car. Look at him. He's always on time. And they don't know what I have to go through to get here. I have to get the kids dressed. I have to drop them off at school.
Mm-hmm.
I bet he just gets up and comes straight to work. That's judging. Look at her with her big old hat on. Look at her think she look good. Look at him looking this way. Oh, that's judging. And God teaches against judging others. Do not judge.
Right.
Or you
look
too
at
will
him
be judged.
With her. I know they gay. Look at him or her. I know they gay.
Yeah.
Look what
he got.
He dressed like a woman. She dressed like a man.
That's a good one. That's a good one. I know that's been used. I know that's been used many times. That's judging, y'all. And we're going to learn tonight the word says, do not judge. Do not judge. God has a reason for everything God does. Everything God does, God has a reason. There's a reason for God not creating the things that he created on the sixth day, on the first day. Everything that God does, God has a reason. There's a reason God didn't create the things that he created on the sixth day, on the first day. God had a reason. God had a reason for instructing Adam and Eve. God had a reason for instructing Adam and Eve. God had a reason for instructing Adam and Eve. You can't eat from this tree. He just didn't say that willy-nilly. God had a reason. God had a reason for telling Noah to build an ark on dry land. And God has reasons for not wanting us to judge. And I'm going to submit three right quick. There are reasons that God wants us not to judge. And the first reason is that we're not qualified.
Right.
I'm not qualified to judge. I'm not qualified to judge who will be the next American Idol. I don't even know anything about singing. A lot of people say I can't sing. So I'm not qualified to judge who's going to be the next American Idol. Because I don't even know how to carry a note. You're not qualified to judge me. And I'm not qualified to judge you.
Right.
You don't know each other. We don't know each other well enough.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't know each other like that to be judging one another.
Well, can you qualify what judging really is? Can we define it?
We sure can. With everybody's help. Let's hear what some of you all have to say. What do you think judging really is? Now, I've given some clear-cut examples, but we can break it down even further. All those things that I shared in the beginning, that's you judging somebody. And when you said you look at a person and say he and talk about his or her sexual orientation, you don't even know the person, you just look at them and judge based on how you see them or how you think they look. That's judging. But we can take it a step further. What do you all think judging is? Or let's bring some more clarity to it as she has asked us to look into judging just a little further.
Me, judging means that you're putting someone else down or demeaning a person because they're not, quote unquote, to your standard or they don't measure up to what you do. That's how I feel judging is.
Okay. And judging most often is negative, but it don't have to be negative, right?
Right.
You can judge somebody in a positive light. But judging is more often enough to think it has a negative connotation.
Because a person is driving a Mercedes-Benz doesn't mean they are rich. Or just because person is driving a hoopty doesn't mean they are poor. So,
good. That's good, because you can look at the person in the Mercedes-Benz and you can judge them the wrong way. And I'm repeating what you said. We can look at the person driving the Mercedes-Benz, and we can look at them and say to ourselves, well, they must be rich. And they may not be. As you said, we can look at the person in the hoopty and think they might be poor, must be poor. And that don't have to be true.
And also,
come on. Go ahead.
Hello. Good evening.
Go ahead. Good evening.
Who can see the hidden man of the heart?
Come on. Nobody.
But there's only one somebody that knows the hidden man of the heart, or the hidden woman of the heart, and that is God.
That's right.
That's why he told us, I think it's the 7th chapter of Matthew, he said, judge not. We are not in a position to judge because we all been redeemed.
Right.
So judging is not ours because we can't visibly see the hidden man or woman of the heart. But now we can notice the attributes.
Yes. Yes. Amen.
Yeah, that's, I just wanted to put that in there.
Amen. Thank you for sharing, because you're absolutely correct.
And we always know the rule saying you can't judge a book by the cover anyway. Whatever it looks like, that's what it is.
Heard that before too. You can't judge a book by its cover. Somebody else wanted to say something.
And I'll use a good example. And I've used this one before. I have said to people, I like pina coladas, and the pina colada I like is a virgin pina colada. But if I go to a restaurant and ask for a pina colada, they're gonna put it in a glass that looks like one that has alcohol in it.
Alcohol.
But it's looking like that. If they put it in the same kind of glass, if you come taste mine, mine's going to be a virgin pina colada and not a pina colada with alcohol in it. So.
Yeah. Yeah.
There again.
Yeah.
If you see me with
but
that
if I walk
glass
in,
that looks
but if
like
I walk
a drink.
In, if I walk in and see you, I'm going to say, look at her. She's over there drinking a pina colada. She called herself a preacher.
That's exactly right.
I mean, it may not be anything wrong with that. I'm not saying there's something absolutely wrong with it, so let's don't get me wrong. But I'm just saying I would be judging her, and she wouldn't even have no alcohol in the drink. But I'm judging her as if she does.
Right.
And as Reverend just said, I don't even know. God only knows our heart. God only knows our intent. And we are not qualified. And I cut you off, Jones, so I'll let you continue. But we are not qualified. We are not qualified to judge. That's not in our job.
To show how wrong we can be. That's the only reason I use that example, because you can be very wrong.
Oh, certainly.
When you are judging me with my pina colada in my hand.
Exactly.
And consequently, because it looks like that, I don't want to give it the appearance of being an alcoholic drink. So if I get one, I ask to put it in the regular glass.
Only
because it's a drink I enjoy, and because I enjoy it, I don't want it to have the appearance of negativity.
You're right. Right.
Right.
So that's just an example.
That's a good one. As I started out, who am I or who are you to tell me I need to fix my old car that I can't afford to get a new car? That's judging. Look at her. Just went and bought that new car. As hard as times are, she don't need to buy that. She need to fix what she got. Who am I to say what another person can or can't afford, but that's what a lot of times people do, and that's what we're getting into tonight. Too jacked up to judge.
Okay, praise the Lord. I let everybody talk. Hallelujah. I listen to what everyone say, and I concur, but here in this text, we got to keep it in the biblical form that,
come on,
that judging, I'm going to use a good example because I got on this subject at a Bible study at noon where my mother was talking about drinking. And then she says, and I used to, but how can I tell you about your drinking when I used to drink? And so I said, true, but the point is that once we're saved, if I got some, I ain't gonna say if, but I do have some shortcomings. I do have some faults, some errors. And I used, for example, I used to have a mouth that wasn't about praising God. And I would see someone else using their mouth that was not praising God. And I would quickly tell them what they should be doing or controlling or shouldn't say that, but yet still I'm not looking at the fact that I'm still doing it. Now, biblically, Jesus is telling me, telling us, talking about how we can become hypocrites because we can't see ourselves doing the same thing that someone else is doing. So then I'm making myself better than you by judging you at what you're doing. And he is telling us, no, not so. I can't be like that. We can't be like that because we represent Jesus, we represent the kingdom. Yeah, maybe we used to be such and such, do such and such, say, act or whatever, but now we have, as Paul said, the old nature, old things are passed away, and there are new things. So therefore, judging is, I'm not looking at my mess ups, my hang ups, my trip ups, but I'm going to knock your trip-ups and your hang-ups down. And so that makes me a hypocrite because I should first look at my own self. Now, if I be honest with myself and say, okay, this is where I am, Lord, you know, deliver me, strengthen me, help me not to be such and such that's displeasing to you. I want you to be glorified. And then I see my a brother or sister, someone that is doing something, saying something, acting contrary, then out of love and out of knowing the grace that God bestows upon me is available for this person, I can go to them in love. You know, as the scripture says, in, I think in Galatians 6, it says, if you find one overtaken in a fault, you who are spiritual, restore that one, you know, because you could be the next person that fall into a trap, fall into a sin. So in love, I can go to that person. And that's not judging that person if I go to that person in love. That's I want to see that person get better, do better, come away from where, because God is no, he's no respecter person. If he's helping me, he can help them. If he's delivered you, he can deliver them. But to stand back and see myself jacked up, and then I want to point at you, and I want to break you down, and I want to say things, whether it's to you or about you to someone else, then I am judging.
That's right. That's right. That's right. You summed up. You summed up these five verses that we'll go into a little more detail.
Amen.
But you did. You summed them up. You summed them up very nicely. So I mentioned one of the reasons that God doesn't want us to judge is because we're not qualified. You're not qualified. And I think you all elaborated on that stuff. Another reason is you haven't been through what I've been through. So you can't judge me not knowing what I've been through. I can't judge you not knowing what you've been through. Even if both of us have lost our mother, just say, for example, we both have lost a parent, but you still can't judge how I feel. Just because you feel one way after you've lost a parent or whatever, that doesn't mean I feel the same way. we could have gone through the same thing, but you still can't judge us. And then the third reason we can't judge is because most often our lives are too jacked up to be trying to judge somebody else's life. Most times.
Man.
We say all the time. Most often, a lot of times, our lives are too jacked up to be trying to judge.
Mm-hmm. And this is where the scripture is saying, why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? So I'm looking at your speck, but I got a log on me in my eye.
That's right.
So that also makes me not be able to judge.
That's right. Mm-hmm. I can't talk about what another person can or cannot afford. Who am I to talk about what another person can or cannot afford? Who are you to talk about what another person can or cannot afford? My father-in-law, bless his soul, he's resting in heaven. Carolyn's dad. Reverend Carolyn's father would say, you know, I don't. People don't have a pot to pee in, you know, window to throw it out. Excuse my expression. But I've heard him say that on several occasions. Folks don't have a pot to pee in, you know, window to throw it out. And yet, they can still judge somebody else in ways that they're not even qualified. For every one thing I see wrong in your life, if I look, I can find three things in my life. Every one thing that I can find wrong in your life, if I look at my own life, and I'm just using this as an example, I probably can find at least three things. At least three things. So we shouldn't judge folks' actions. We shouldn't judge folks' behavior. We shouldn't judge folks' character. And now somebody might disagree with that because they say, well, I see you doing this. I see you doing that. Well, it goes back to girls sitting in the restaurant drinking, appearing to be drinking a pina colada with alcohol in it, and we run tell that because that's what we thought we saw. And so we judge her based on what we thought we saw. And now we don't run tell somebody what we thought she was doing, and she really wasn't doing that. So we have to be
the main thing is he wants us to stay away from our hypocritical attitude. And a hypocrite is saying one thing and doing another. And he does not want us to be hypocrites. So if I'm considering that I'm so jacked up, I don't have time to be learning about what you just said. And I need to remember the mercy that God showed me when I was all jacked up. I'm still all jacked up. He had mercy on me. And because he had mercy on me, he can have mercy on anybody else who chooses to have mercy, no matter how destitute the situation appears.
That's right. That's right. Good comment. Good comment. In John chapter 7, verses 14 through 16, Jesus was teaching. He was teaching at the festival of the tabernacle. And about halfway through his teaching, the Jews were amazed at how this man got such learning without going to school. The Jews were amazed at how Jesus could teach without ever having studied or going to the school that they went through. And Jesus answered and said, my teaching is not my own. It comes from him who sent me. So we should stop judging by people's appearance. Because when we judge people on their appearance, we oftentimes make the wrong judgment. They were looking at Jesus and all this excellent teaching Jesus was doing. And they said, who is he? The Jews, who is he? Why is he able to teach like this? I ain't never seen him in none of the schools we went to. I ain't never seen him in none of the classes taking none of the things and learn some of the things that we did. How is he able to teach like this? And he told them, my teaching is not my own. My teaching comes from the one who sent me, and that's God. Jesus don't want us judging, because our judgment is most often going to be wrong. Jesus says, I come not to judge. I come not to judge the world, but to save the world. Colossians 2:16, therefore, do not let anyone judge you by what you eat or drink, or with regard to a religious festival, a new moon celebration, or a Sabbath day.
Uh-huh.
These are a shadow of the things to come. The reality, however, is found in Christ. The reality is found in Christ.
Do we need a break to play the music?
No. Why?
Okay. There's some music playing in the background.
Yeah.
Doesn't sound bad, either. God is the judge.
I know y'all can hear it.
God is the judge of all men and women. God is the judge of all men and women. Now get into the text. Finally. Verse 1. Don't do it. It says, judge not, that you be judged. Don't do it. Don't do it. Judging causes us to point fingers. Or judging causes us to point a finger. But when we point one finger, when you point one finger at me, how many are pointing at you?
3 or 4.
I'm doing it right now. I'm just pointing outside to the window. But I'm pointing one finger out, and there's 3 fingers pointing back at me. And the thumb finger's up here, pointing up in the air. But the finger that I'm pointing at you is only one. But the way my hand is positioned, 3 fingers are pointing back at me. Don't do it, y'all. Just don't do it. The scripture says in verse number 1, judge not. Judge not. Just don't do it. Let's try to practice not judging.
And if
you practice it, what's that?
It's going to also speak to that in verse number 24. It says, do not judge by appearances, but judge with right judgment. So when you take things to individuals.
What verse was that again?
Verse number 24.
In chapter?
Still chapter 7. Do not judge by appearances. And that example that I gave is an example of appearances. John chapter 7.
Okay.
Okay, read it again for us, if you dare.
Do not judge by appearances, but judge with right judgment.
Do not judge by appearances. And that's what
so verse number 23 says, if on the Sabbath a man receives circumcision so that the law of Moses may not be broken, are you angry with me because on the Sabbath I made a man whole body well? Do not judge by appearance, but judge with right judgment.
Judge with right judgment. And that's what they did to Jesus. They judged the appearance that Jesus wasn't qualified to be able to do the Jews, that Jesus wasn't qualified to do the teaching Jesus was doing. But they knew nothing about Jesus in that life. But they judged him on appearance, as we do sometimes. So don't do it. Judge not.
And I think the significant part of that is making us aware that we all have issues and we all are really too jacked up to be judging another person.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because Jesus didn't judge us. He forgave us and took on the sins that he had irregardless. And if you think about what you went through to get where you are today, it was because of the unmerited favor of God. And only because of that. And because of that, that means we're not in a position to judge one another.
That's right. You're not in a position. We're not in a position. We're not qualified. Folks don't know what you've been through. And we too jacked up. Verse number 3. Why is other folks' fault? Why is other people's fault always so clear to us? Other people's shortcomings are always clearly defined, and we can see them real good. That's the fact that's being described here. Why is other folks' fault so clear and so concise and so defined? We can see, I can see other folks' fault real good. A lot of times people can see the fault in me but can't see the fault in themselves, and that's what the text is saying. My fault is, and they're comparing the other person's fault to like a speck. And a speck is something that's small, but yet we can always see clearly somebody else's fault. And our fault is being described here as a log or a plank, as some of the translations might describe it. In other words, what's it saying, y'all? Revolution already went over a lot of this in her summation in the beginning. What is the word saying? The word is saying that the other person's problem is small. A speck is something that's small. And I'm criticizing them, and I'm putting small in quotations, I'm criticizing them for the speck, for the little thing that's going on with them, but I got major problems going on in my life. And I don't even stop to try to straighten out the major stuff that's going on in my life, but yet I'm going to be judging and pointing out everything that's small, for lack of a better word, that speck that's in the other person's life. And that's what the scripture is saying tonight. How can you see the speck until you remove the log? How can you see the speck that's in my eyes until you remove the log that's in your own eyes? Because the plank that's in your eyes is covering up everything. You can't even see what's going on with me. You're judging me. But you got to move that from me. I got to take care of this big problem that I got before I can say anything to you. It's easy to see where others are falling short. It's easy to see where others are missing the mark. But again, our fault are blurred and fuzzy. That's why we're defining our fault as the plank.
Yeah.
Because we can't see that big plank. We can't see that big plank. But I can see that little speck in your eye.
May I input
Please.
Something?
Come on, help us
for
out.
For the most part, all that's under the Adamic fallen nature have the same attributes. All that are under the Adamic fallen nature and practice the nature, it's their practical way of life, they all have the same faults. That's why they can so easily identify the spots and the specks, because they are under the same nature. Now, when the nature change, and you become under the divine nature of God through his spirit, the fruits of the spirit is your practical way of life, then that's when you're out of the ramification of them spotting your life. So they don't judge you. They look to you for advice, for wisdom, and for knowledge, because your nature exemplifies perfection. And rightly so, because we all are spinoff of perfection. So if they're looking through the eyes of the Adamic fallen nature, they can judge somebody else because they measure them by their own lines. That's why they can say, oh, you're this, oh, you're that. How you know? It's a part of his nature or her nature. That's why they can point the finger.
But if the nature has been changed, the person is walking in the spirit and having the attributes of the spirit of God, then that's when the identification of those of the fallen nature, they can't figure it out totally. That's how you can get them saved, because they don't know your practical way of life. They feel like that's impossible because everybody with them is on a fallen nature.
Yeah. Amen. Any other comments, questions, concerns before we move forward?
Me? Basically what we need to do is stay in our own lane.
That's what we need to do.
In our own lane. You know, if we can't judge somebody else from in this aisle or in this aisle next to me, just stay in our own lane and keep our eyes focused on God, and, you know, he'll judge us so that we can't look at everybody else's, the moat, the beam, the log, the plank, whatever, in somebody else's eye. Because your focus should be on God. So, excuse me. So if you can't, if you just focus on God, you can't see anybody else's fault except for your own. You just look in the mirror and just keep your head on the forward and just keep it like you're in a race. Don't look back. You don't look
That's
back
right.
when you're in a race. In a fast race, I should say, because in a slow race, you know, you could, okay, I know this person's going to get ready to pass me. But in a fast race, you know, you don't have that chance or opportunity to look back. So if you just keep your eye on the prize and keep your eye on God, you won't have time to criticize, to demean, to look at everybody else's faults and failures and try to be like the Joneses and the Smiths and the Browns and the Kings and the Johnsons. All you can be is yourself. That's all I got to say.
You're right. You have said a mouthful. So if we are focusing and keeping our attention on the cross, on Jesus, we wouldn't have time to be doing a whole lot of jail. There's a song I believe that I need to sweep around my own back door.
Yeah.
Before I
yes.
can sweep around the door.
Mm-hmm.
I need to sweep around my own back
door.
I need to sweep around my own front door before I can sweep around yours. I done changed the song up. I need to sweep around both my doors. Front and back. You know, some folk will bring their broom over to your house. Walk across the street. Hit me, Reverend Wilson. Walk across the street with their broom and start sweeping off your front porch. I'm country, your front porch. And while all that dirt is piled up on their front, they don't walk over the dirt. Watch this now. They don't walk over the trash on their own front porch. Walking across the street to your house, to my house, and sweeping on, and they call themselves sweeping on my front porch. And I'm looking over at their house, and I'm seeing all that trash and all that dirt. You want to add something?
So we're just agreeing, I think.
Right.
You know, bro.
Amen.
Bro, can I help you sweep around your door?
Can
I sweep around your door? You look like you got a lot of trash and junk around your door. Let me see what I can do to help you out, bro. Let me bring my broom over. Let me bring the big one over, because you got a lot of stuff around your door. And, bro, you take your broom and go across the street from where you came from and sweep your own.
Hey, you know, I guess if we say that in love. If we say it in love, that's been mentioned already.
Listen,
I don't mean no harm. I appreciate you over here trying to help. But if we say it in love, maybe we can send them back home and tell them they need to keep around their own door first before you come over here.
Yeah.
So I need to check. I need to check my own. I need to check my own jacked up attitude before I ask you to fix yours. You know what I'm saying? I need to check my own jacked up attitude before I tell you to fix yours. I need to check my own jacked up behavior. If I'm acting jacked up, my behavior's jacked up, but I'm trying to ask you about fixing your behavior. I need to check my own jacked up cold heart before I ask you to warm up your heart.
I need to check my own jacked up deadbeat ways before I ask you to fix yours. I need to learn how to edify God. I need to learn how to lift them up. I need to learn how to edify God before I talk to you about lifting him up. I need to learn how to edify him and lift him up myself. I need to learn how to give God praise before I get on you about your praise. And I'm sitting over there like a sour grape. And I'm getting on you about your praise, and I haven't even learned. I'm not even lifting up a hand to give him praise, but I'm talking about your praise.
Yeah.
I need to pray more before I talk to you about your lack of praise. All of this is judgment. And my Bible tells you tonight, judge not. Judge not that you be not judged. For with the judgment you pronounce, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it's going to be used to measure you. So that same stick that I'm measuring you by, that same stick is going to be used to measure me. Why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye, but you don't notice the log, the plank that is in your own eye? Or how can I say to my, how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye when there's a log, there's a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite. Heard that word?
Right.
Reverend Williamson, one of the preachers, you hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. I can't help you. I can't help you until I help myself. I can't help you until I help myself. On an airplane, when the cabin loses pressure, and we got a small child, what do they say? They instruct us to first put your own oxygen mask on. Put it on yourself first. And then help the child. Because I can't help the child if I can't help myself.
Right.
That's right.
I can't help you until I help myself.
Right.
Once God works the things out in my jacked up life, then I can help you. Once the Lord helped me handle money, then I can advise you on how to handle money.
Right.
While I'm
going
to waste money, I can't talk to you about how to handle money. When I start the drugs, then I can come and talk to you about how to get off drugs. But I can't come and talk to you about how to get off drugs when I'm still on drugs. I can't come and talk to you about overeating when I'm still eating too much. That's just it. That's judging. So once the Lord delivers and show me, then I can help you. This whole discussion tonight. And I think we're clear. We have no grounds to judge.
Nope.
There's only one true judge, and who's that? God. Because one day we all going to have to stand. One day we all going to have to stand before the Almighty Judge, the true and righteous judge. Not the kind of judge we are, judging because we don't like somebody, or judging because we are jealous of somebody. Not that kind of judging. We're going to have to stand before the true and the righteous judge and be judged. Be judged by the most holy God.
Right.
Only judges God. What gives God the right? What gives God the right to judge me? Because God sets the standards. God created me. And God sent a part of God in the world in the person of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ says, I'm going to judge. Jesus Christ says, I'm not going to judge. That's God's word. Jesus confessed it. God's word. Who is qualified to do God's word? I know not me. And I know not you. Let us consider. Removing the plank out of our own eyes. Before we talk about the speck that's in our brothers or sisters' eyes.
And if you can't remember that, just remember the song.
sweep around your own front door before you try to sweep around mine.
Yeah. That's it.
Yeah.
That's it. I've gone as far as I can go with those. We have finished our chapter 7. I don't have a title for what's coming next, so we're just going to read and talk the next time we gather. Asking it will be given to you, the golden rule, a tree and its fruit, I never knew, build your house on the rock. And those are just titles that are in my Bible. And so what we'll do the next
you'll
time,
tell me though,
unless,
right?
Huh?
I said, you'll tell me though,
say?
Right? I said, you will tell me prior to, okay, thank you.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, if I have one. You may be the same. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I mean, my time is up. I know we have more time if you guys want to just read and share some more scriptures you can, or we can stop and start again when we start again. That's all I have prepared. But we can continue to read and discuss some more of chapter 7.
Anybody have any words? Mm-hmm. Anybody have any words? We do have a few listeners, so that's a good thing. We have a few
that's
listeners.
That's a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good thing.
Mm-hmm. We did have a few listeners.
That's a good thing. And I didn't read verse
Nobody
number 6.
Nobody has any comments? Okay, go ahead.
I didn't read verse number 6, so maybe somebody have a comment about the summer verse. I couldn't fit it into my lesson. Verse number 6 says, Do not give dogs what is holy, and do not throw your pearls before pigs, lest they trample them underfoot and turn to attack you. So I didn't add that into too jacked up to judge because I couldn't make it work. But if somebody want to explain what they think that verse means, that'll complete that little section.
Okay. All right.
That's verse number 6. Do not give dogs what is holy, and do not throw your pearls before pigs, lest they trample them underfoot, and then after they trample them under their foot, they'll turn to attack you. What does that mean to somebody?
I would say, let me just say it like this. As a preacher, we desire and should desire to always give the word of God out to tell someone about Jesus. But, you know, we must be careful. And I know that Jesus is not literally saying a dog, but in this day and time, those that were not part of the Jewish culture, the Gentile Samaritan, they had names such as, because others felt like, and this is not Jesus, but others felt like they were better than that race of people at that time. So I believe Jesus is encouraging us as lay people, preachers, pastors, that we be careful as to whom we, because some people, I'm going to say it like this, some people I've tried to witness to and tell them the righteousness of God and the love of God, and they turn and they go off and cuss you out and spit on you. I've had it done. So this speaks that, you know, what is holy, God is holy, Jesus is holy, the word of God is holy. Mm-hmm. We want everybody to be saved, but we have to be careful as to those that we encounter to give the word of God, the will, the things of God to, because they will turn on you, you know, and we know that pearls have value. And in that day,
right,
pigs had no value. So, you know, we just have to be extremely careful. We want everyone to be saved, but that which is holy is holy, and those are the things of God that is holy. And I thought about there are times when we want to give that's been set apart for God's glory, for the kingdom of God. We want to give it to those that is not gonna they're not gonna use it for God's glory. They're gonna take it and do else things with it. So it's just encouraging us that is holy. Don't waste our time. And this doesn't say we don't want people to be saved. We want everybody to be saved. But we have to be not take what is holy, what's sacred, what's been is dedicated to God, and try to give it to someone who does not want it, who's going to reject it, who's going to cuss it out, or say, I don't care about that stuff right there. You know, they ain't going to say stuff, but they're just going to be, and they'll tear you apart. They can leave you wounded. I've been wounded mentally by some things that people have said when you try to give them a word of encouragement, or you try to lead them to Christ. So that's my thought. Because there are some wicked people, and they don't value the teaching of Christ. So we have to, let the Holy Spirit lead us. Amen.
That's good. Your commentary.
Queen was saying, and just include that sometimes you find people in the church that is they're not saved, but they're in the church, and they do try to, I guess, do different than what is supposed to be done, and so. It to me is saying, not only when you're trying to give the word to the people out in the world, they don't receive it, then you don't keep passing your pearls, because as it has been said, pearls are very valuable, and so is the word of God. It's most valuable. And so you don't keep putting it out there for them to trample on. You have to get them, these are the ones that would be judging. What we just studied, they were the ones that would be judging. And the reason why Jesus talked about this was because of the scriptures before that.
Lord.
And so, because they deemed when a person was poor, that in poverty, that it was a curse from God, that God penalized them, which was not always the case, as Reverend Rodney pointed out. Sometimes one can be in poverty or look like they in poverty when they're really not. So the other thing is we should not, as believers of Christ, be going to the world in order expecting them to help us in any kind of way. We are to look to the Lord Jesus Christ, because they will take what we do and trample it, just like the swine. The swine lives in a big den, and that's where the pearls wind up at.
You all could have wrote together. You all could have wrote the commentary that's in this book, because the commentary that's in my Bible, verse number 6, says, in the ancient days, dogs were usually scavengers, not pets. Jews use the term to describe unclean people and enemies, and I heard both of you talk about that. Pigs were unclean according to the Old Testament law, and I know both of you said this. Pearls symbolizes the great value of the method. You all talked about the worth of pearls, and pearls were expensive. Pearls symbolizes the great value of the message of the kingdom of heaven. Believers should wisely recognize the true character of people and not indefinitely continue proclaiming the gospel to those who keep on rejecting it.
That's right.
Somebody talked about people snapping at them and not wanting to receive the word and pretty much biting their head off as they came away, and said that. This commentator is saying
believers should wisely recognize the true character of people and not indefinitely continue proclaiming the gospel to those who keep on rejecting it.
That's
and
right.
The Bible says it like this. Shake
you
the
reject.
Dust off your feet. Shake the dust off your feet. If you give the word and they don't receive it, shake the dust off your
That's
word.
Right.
Shake the dust off your feet. Shake the dust off your feet.
That's
and
right.
Take your peace with you. Don't even leave your peace there, I think, if you're in so many words. Don't let your peace abide there.
Help us forward.
Good deal. Appreciate it.
Amen. Amen.
We'll start next time and ask and it will be given. Ask and it will be given. And we'll talk about the golden rule as well. We have finished up chapter 7.
Forward.
The next time we meet, we finish chapter 7. That would have taken us through the Sermon on the Mount, chapter 5, 6, and 7. And not sure the direction we are going next. Carolyn and myself and others. I think, Reverend, we'll do some topical studying of some different topics. We'll have that figured out before we meet to engage in chapter 7 the next time we meet. Thank you all so much. All your input, because I've been blessed by all that's been shared, and I think I'm better now at 6:20 or whatever time it was than I was at 5 o'clock and at Texas. Better now at 6:20 than I was at 5 o'clock Texas time, because of what has been shared, but mostly because of what God has done through you all to enhance the lesson and enhance the study. God bless you all. Lord, I thank you for blessing us tonight. I thank you for how you use all of us, oh God, who are part of this study. I thank you for everything that's been shared. I thank you for all of the insights, oh God. And we know it all comes from you. But I thank you, oh God, for using us as instruments and allowing us to be valuable parts in this study and this lesson tonight. And now I pray, God, that we will all internalize what we have learned, that we are not to judge, oh God, that we will look at our own selves and ask you to help take care of us. And then if we can help somebody else in a loving way, oh God, we pray that you will allow us to do that in a loving way, oh God. But please allow none of us to go out and judge, even on this season, tomorrow, the rest of the week, the rest of our lives, really. Help us not to judge, but leave the judging to you. Again, we thank you for this video, internet video. We thank you for Ms. Inez. We pray strength upon her and a special blessing upon her family. And we lift up every family that's represented. And we pray at the same special blessing for all of the families that's represented, every generation, from the youngest to the most elder. We pray a special blessing. Thank you again. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. I'm going to play this song, Sweep Around Your Own Front Door, and then call the discipleship.
Amen.
You know, there are too many people trying to take care of other folks' business, and they can't even take care of their own. But what you need to do is take 6 months to mind your own business and 6 months to leave other folks' business alone. All I'm trying to say is, sweep around your own front door before you try to sweep around mine. Sweep around your own front door before you try to sweep around mine. Now this is what you do. You smile at your neighbor's face and you talk about them behind their back. Y'all know you do. But if you found out they were doing the same thing to you, you know you wouldn't like that. Well, tell me this. Who are we to judge what other people do? Take a look at yourself. You'll find some faults too. Sweep around your own door before you try. Thing, you're always on the telephone look in the mirror and check yourself. And here's the reason why. Cause we all have sinned and come short. I've got glory today, so we don't have time to spread hearsay.
Discipleship. And if anybody wants to give their life to Christ or be prayed for, you can call us at 845-241-9985. Call the discipleship.
Amen. Amen. If there's anybody who is on the line who don't know Christ as a Savior, we have a lot of preachers. But sometimes we preachers may not have it together. We all want to not miss an opportunity to extend an invitation. Somebody might be under the sound of our voices who don't know Jesus as a Savior. So we always want to take time to extend that invitation for somebody to come to meet Jesus, somebody to come and accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. But if there are any listeners that's listening to us, any listeners under the sound of our voice, and you want to accept Christ as your Lord and your Savior, we want you to make that known, that we might pray with you, that Jesus Christ is coming to your life as we all pray today. Save us from our sins and be Lord of our lives. Heavenly Father, we pray that you will do this point. If any of us who don't know you as a Savior, I pray, God, that you do this for us even right now, that you allow us to accept you as our Lord and our Savior, that we allow you to save us from the sinful world, save us from our sinful selves, and allow your Holy Spirit, your Holy Ghost, to live in us, oh God, and lead, God, and direct us. So I pray now, again, if any don't know you, that they come to you, accepting your son Jesus Christ. Thank you again. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I want to thank each and every one of you for joining us on this Wednesday evening Bible study. Two jacked up taken from Matthew 7-1-2-5, and we'll continue on with the rest of Matthew when you join us in 2 weeks. And so you guys have your Bibles ready and your mind sharpened, because Reverend McCullough may ask us to, you know, so many questions. So and if you want to hear this episode on demand, you can go to www.blogtalkradio.com/letsdoitradio. That's www.blogtalkradio.com/letsdoitradio. And if you want to be contacted by the teachers, please email us at letsdoitradio@gmail.com. Again, that's letsdoitradio@gmail.com. And then the announcements for today, on tomorrow evening, May 26th, Thursday, the View of the Kingdom, the Women of God, will be presenting A Man's Worth. Yes, A Man's Worth. And they are from Pine Bluff, Arkansas. And that time is 3 p.m. Pacific, 4 Mountain, 5 Central, and 6 Eastern. Again, A Man's Worth. So spread that out to all the gents and to the women. Because, yes, men are worth a lot, even though they may not feel like it. And sometimes we women don't appreciate them. They do have worth. And then on Sunday, May 29th, 5th Sunday service, we have Pastor W.F. Pride out of Yakima, Washington, and he will be speaking to us at 6 p.m. Pacific, 7 Mountain, 8 Central, and 9 Eastern. And then on the 31st, Memorial Day, actually Tuesday, Miss Inez says, talk about it, and that's 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. Then June 2nd, again, we'll have the View of the Kingdom from Pine Bluff, and so we will keep on going through, and also keeping it real with Sergeant Parks in Yakima, and his is 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. So let's also support Reverend Ronnie Marshall with his Don't Turn Away From God album through iTunes, Amazon, CD Baby, all music media. You can, you know, locate that Don't Turn Away From God album under Ronnie Marshall. And if you want to keep this radio, Let's Do It Radio on the air, you can cash at me at $ANAISEVALCOUR. Again, that's ANA, dollar sign, of course, in front, ISEVALCOUR, to keep us on the air, because we do have to pay our dues to keep us on air. So if you want to listen to the Bible study again, as I said, you can go to www.blogtalkradio.com/letsdoitradio, and you can listen to this episode and anything that you want to hear again, repeat, replay, that you've heard or even want to listen to that we started since day one. So please do that. Or if you have a topic you may want to discuss, please hit me up again at letsdoitradio@gmail.com. So Reverend McCullough has already prayed, so please stay safe, be safe until we meet again, and please, please, please say prayers for the Uvalde Robb Elementary, for the children that were lost, it's senseless, it's just wrong, just totally wrong. But we are living in those last days, y'all, so you know, all these things, these shootings, these killings, and everything else that are going through, it's coming. You know, the beast is out there. So we want to thank each and every one of you for listening, and keep listening, and keep us in your prayers, and pray one for another as we do our normal do it all in the mall prayer and end our Bible study. Thank you. Be safe. We love you. Amen.
Lord Jesus, we ask you to help us to understand and strengthen us to provide for ourselves and our communities by working together. It takes each and every one of us to come together as the kings and queens that we are and have always been. Thank you.
Amen. Be blessed, stay blessed, and call somebody. Amen.